Hello. And now last night's Powerball numbers. 7, 23, 27, 32, 42, 56, 57, 82, 93, 127, 197, 253, 327, 328, 562, 571, 927, 929, 1,237, 2,533, 6,957, 6,958, 23,542.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
173,257 with a Powerball of 6.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How'd you do? Do you want me to repeat those numbers?
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. No, over here. I'm over here. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Betsy Rabinowitz. That's my pen name. Actually, Sean Penn is my pen name. I am Ron Van Dam. You can reach me by sticking your hand out and shaking mine. That's how you reach me. No high fives, no nickel bumps, no knuckle bumps, no nothing there. I hand sanitize. Yes, I do. I hand sanitize. I go to supermarkets, to the entrance of supermarkets, just to hand sanitize. Because they got free hand sanitizer. Not many places you can get free stuff anymore. You go to a mall, they got water fountains. Still have water fountains. Never stick your mouth on that little faucet part. You don't know where it's been. Some guy with some type of sexual transmittable disease has been putting his mouth on that thing. Girls, too. You be careful, kids. Be careful with the water that comes out of there. That's free. So is the hand sanitizer. Welcome to the program. By the way, if you want to get in touch with me, it's not going to happen, pretty much. You can check my email. Actually, I'll check my email. You can't check my email unless you have my password. Wait a minute. You can't check my email. You can pick up my laundry, please, and my dry cleaning if you could. Could you pick up? By the way, I went to my dry cleaners yesterday because I get my shirts dry cleaned. I don't, because wet cleaning never seems to work for me. I like a good starchy shirt, you know? A good starchy shirt. Went to this place. $2.75 per shirt. That's what I paid for it originally. It's ridiculous. That's like going to Salvation Army and buying a shirt for $2 and having it cleaned. It's like more than what you bought the shirt for. Hello? It don't make sense. $2.75. And I said to the lady behind the counter, why is it... How, I don't even know what dry cleaning is. What do you do? What do you do? How do you clean something without using liquid? How do you dry clean it? What do you do? How, How do you do that? She says, I don't know. We send it out. So it's just crazy. Crazy stuff. $2.75 to dry clean a shirt, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, I have my underpants dry cleaned as well. Heavy starch. It's annoying, but at least I'm getting something for my money. You know what I'm saying? And those babies need to be dry cleaned. Believe me, they need to be dry cleaned on a hanger. I like my underpants on a hanger, please. Heavy starching on a hanger. Yeah, I can't go back to the dry cleaners anymore. They won't take me. I've never been banned from a dry cleaners except for, you know, now because of the underpants thing. I don't know. It's a fetish I have, I suppose. I like my underpants like really dry cleaned. I don't know. That washing machine crap, they don't do it for me. Yeah, that's where my boys are. That's where my boys are. My boys deserve to have my trio, my trilogy, deserves to have a washing machine? No. Dry cleaning? Yeah, I'll spring for it. Anyway, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. Dry cleaning, went to dry cleaners. I have no idea. I'm totally lost. You can reach me by going to my email, which is ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Gmail sounds like I've just gotten out of the armed services and I'm using this particular email thing. Gmail, isn't that what they used to use in the military like way back? I think so, before they had email. RonVandamShow@gmail.com. If you send me any kind of negative comment whatsoever, I will spam and delete you like you wouldn't believe. And when I spam and delete you, it goes far beyond the email. Just saying, okay? You don't want me to spam and delete you. You can say nice things about me, about how I've lost a lot of weight and how great I look. You can do that. Did you have your spouse or your girlfriend, and it's always a female that does this, say to you, do I look fat in this dress? First of all, that's a rhetorical question. Secondly, don't you dare ever answer it. Change the subject quickly. She says, do I look fat in this dress? You respond by saying, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? I've never seen puffy clouds like that before. Don't answer it. You could say, no, you don't look that fat. I mean, you don't look fat at all in that dress is what I'm saying. And of course, the dress is like horizontal stripes. You're not supposed to lie. There was a Geico commercial about a year ago or something, and Abraham Lincoln is standing in the bedroom next to his wife. I think it was Mary Todd. I really didn't know her personally. I think it was her. And she turns to Abe Lincoln, to her husband, says, Abe, do you think I look fat in this dress? And Abe, of course, he cannot tell a lie. He didn't respond. He didn't know what to say. Actually, it was George Washington who couldn't tell a lie. How come only those two presidents couldn't lie and all the rest of them really could really well? I don't know. That's how things have changed. Anyway, don't ever answer that question, ever. It's a loaded question. You need backup. You need backup. If you're going to answer that question honestly, you need backup. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Pack your bags, move out before you. Don't ever answer that question. Don't say, yes, you look fat. Don't. God, I don't think any man would. He knows where his bread is buttered, or you know what I'm saying. That's what she said, right? Yeah, I know. Anyway, man, I'm all over the place today. All over the place. I am all over the place.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you for your many cards and letters. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for stopping by the hospital and saying hello. Not to me. I haven't been in the hospital, but I appreciate it. You know what? Hospital food isn't all that bad. It's nursing home food that is horrible. It's funny, after the snowfall in New Jersey, Governor Chris Christie had changed the laws. Apparently, it was illegal for a kid to collect money to shovel a driveway because that was considered a business, I believe. So Governor Chris Christie, who is the large governor of New Jersey, by the way, that's the only time Chris Christie had been in New Jersey in the past 2 years, was when it snowed. Otherwise, he's in New Hampshire or something. So he changes the rules. He lifts the ban. So he says, kids, now you can go make money and shovel your neighbor's driveway. Take your shovel, go from house to house, and charge people to have their driveway shoveled out. And you know what? That's a great idea. I love that. There's only one problem to that, Governor Christie. Kids don't do it. Kids don't do it. Boy, wouldn't it be great if kids did do it? When I was growing up, man, when it snowed, I grabbed my parents' shovel, and I think I did about 30 years for what I for what occurred next. No, I'm kidding. I grabbed my parents' shovel, and I would get my friends together, and we would walk throughout the neighborhood and shovel people's driveways, and they would give us money. And we felt good about it, and it was a good character builder. Not for me, for the person whose driveway I was shoveling. Gave me a bad back is what it did, that I still live with. But it built my character, and what a character I have turned out to be. So Governor Christie, good idea, but unfortunately kids don't do that anymore. Kids don't care about the money part of it. And they certainly don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. So, good idea, Governor. Bad execution. I have lived in Massachusetts for decades and decades, and not once, ladies and gentlemen. I've lived in three different places in Massachusetts because of the Witness Protection Program, which is my favorite television show, by the way. And not once, with all this snow from year to year to year, not once did a child ever come to my door with a shovel and say, "May I shovel you out, Mr. Van Dam?" Not once did that ever occur. And I don't think it's me. I don't think it's the fact that I stand there looking menacing and with a rifle. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's the many years that I've had this little audio recording, a little speaker in my front yard that plays the following recording, "Get the hell off my lawn, kid." I don't think it's that, because I don't see kids walking around any neighborhoods with shovels doing that kind of thing. I don't think they do it anymore. And it's a sad, sad situation. So sad. Very sad. Speaking of sad, you're Republican? End of conversation. End of conversation. You poor, poor people. Here's the latest Donald Trump thing. And unfortunately, what Donald Trump says is absolutely true. And that's what makes him a bigger asshole than ever. Here's what Donald says.
"The people, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible. No, they say, Trump, we love you too, man. Trump's voters are by far, you know, I'm at 69%. I'm at 90%.
90%.
Total.
In the polls.
Like, will you stay? Absolutely. I think it's 68 or 69%.
It could be 62.
Will you most likely stay? That gets into the 90s. Other guys are like a 10.
Oh, stop with your numbers. Oh, my God. He is so annoying. He is so annoying.
They have nothing.
Shut up.
Rubio.
Shut up. Numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. My followers, my numbers, my numbers. The polls, my numbers, my percentages. He sucks, she sucks, you all suck, he sucks. This is the man's entire campaign. Who could possibly reach his level of asshole? Well, his main opponent now is Ted Cruz, who might even surpass the asshole bar. Yes, that bar that is set of assholishness, his holy ashes. Ted Cruz has reached it. Ted Cruz was interviewed by on video when he was 18 years old. I believe he was still in grade school. He's 18 years old, Ted Cruz. He thinks he's a freaking comedian, but is what he's saying scary? Listen to this.
Aspiration. Is that like sweat on my butt? No. Oh, I see. What you want me to do, what I want to do in life. Well, my aspiration is to, be in a teen tit film like that guy who played Horatio. You know, he was in Malibu Bikini Beach Shop. Well, other than that, take over the world. World domination, you know, rule everything. Rich, powerful, that sort of stuff.
Okay, now I'm scared. He answers the first question, what's an aspiration? Is that sweat coming out of your butt? Yes, Ted, that's exactly what it is in your case. And Ted Cruz, what are your aspirations? Well, I want to be in a teen movie, but more so, world domination. I want to take over the world, power, money, that sort of thing. You guys are scaring the hell out of me, both of you, Trump and Cruz. You're scaring the hell out of me. But not out of your supporters. And Donald Trump, you're right. You could shoot somebody in broad daylight on Fifth Avenue and not lose one supporter. You're right. And that you should be so proud. And your supporters have just been aptly insulted by you. He starts off by saying, my supporters, Donald Trump says, my supporters are so smart. And here's how smart they are. I could shoot somebody and they'd still support me. That's how smart my supporters are. That's how loyal. If you're a Donald Trump supporter, you've just been dissed big time. You be careful. This man. Freaky stuff going on. Wake me up from this dream.
Like anyone would be.
Oh, gosh.
I am flattered by your fascination with me.
Yeah, Donald, you are.
Like any hot-blooded woman, I have simply wanted an object to crave. But you're not allowed, you're not invited, an unfortunate. Sweet
one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Very important. Very important. Hey, how are you feeling, by the way? You feeling all right? It's time for people to get sick. Yeah, it is. It's cold and flu season. Well, it always is, kind of, but now especially. And what do you do about it? I thought it might be time to talk about flu prevention, getting shots. What do you do if you're not feeling well? Do you still go to work? You call in sick? You know, a lot of people don't call. That was the greatest thing about being sick when I was a kid. You didn't have to go to school. Well, when you're working, it's a little bit different these days because your boss expects you to do stuff. And when you don't show up, when you come back, your workload is like five times as much because no one does your work while you're gone. Also, they could find out just how useless you really are. Well, Bob hasn't been in work for a week with the flu, and you know what? Doesn't seem to matter. I don't even notice anything different. That's what people are scared of, losing their job. So they go to work sick. Let's speak about flu prevention, shall we?
Hey, good morning, Ron.
How are you today? We have Dr. Charles Gerber and Chris Corrente joining us. Good morning to both of you. We're talking about the age-old concern about getting the flu shot or not getting the flu shot and all the conversations surrounding it, because it's flu season. Yay! And we know that you can get really sick if you don't get a flu shot, is what we're saying here, right?
Yeah, it's always, you know, you should always ask your physician, but it's recommended for the general population, certainly, that you get a flu shot, particularly in October, November, at the beginning of the flu season, but anytime during the flu season. It's really recommended as your first defense against catching the flu.
Yeah. And then it's always the question, and if you do get the flu shot, you just got to figure that, okay, hopefully the strain that I've been inoculated to protect me from is actually the strain that we're going to be dealing with.
Yeah, you sure have to hope that the Centers for Disease Control has it right this year.
Yeah.
But there are many different types of flu virus. The vaccines are getting better in terms of their coverage of the number of viruses, flu viruses that'll actually cover.
Yeah.
But that should be always your first defense during the flu season.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you a few questions that people always bring up here on the show. And here we go. You ready? Here they go. First of all, if you're allergic to certain things like eggs, people understand that eggs may be a component of the of this flu shot. Is that a concern?
Well, generally, they're moving away from that in flu shots now, so you don't see it. But you should always consult your physician on that when you're talking about it. If you have any allergies that might be related to production of the flu shot, ask your physician.
Okay. Question number two comes from Dorothy in Kansas. I'm making that up. Question number two is, if I get the inoculation, is the theory is that my body learns how to fight off this particular disease, and when it's doing so, then my immune system is down for other things?
No, not generally. You're very specific. Your antibodies that develop against the flu virus are very specific. No, so generally that does not happen.
Is the inoculation indeed introducing small amounts of that strain into your body?
Well, it's introducing the parts of the virus that will protect you. You'll make antibodies against certain parts of the virus which are protective. That's what's really going on
there. So some people feel that they actually, if they get the flu vaccine, then they could get sick from the flu vaccine itself. Is that a myth?
Yeah, no, they won't catch the flu from taking the vaccine.
Okay. Is there any reason why someone would not get a flu shot?
Well, some people, you know, for cultural, religious reasons may not want to get the flu shot. That's why it's so important to practice good hand hygiene or hygiene in the office environment for that reason. Because there are things you can do if you don't want to get the flu shot to actually protect yourself. In our studies in office environments, for example, the real hot spots are break rooms, desktops, cell phones. Particularly cell phones get very germy. You find about 10 times the number of bacteria on a cell phone than you actually do a toilet seat, because you're continually touching the cell phone, picking up germs on your fingers, putting them on the cell phones, and moving them around all the time. So what you have to do is be aware of that. And what you need to do to reduce your risk is to practice good hand hygiene, because your hands play a role in transmission of the flu and colds. Disinfect key areas where you're working at home, particularly tabletops, other types of desktops, for example. Those are real areas that you find in. And then use a hand sanitizer if you can't get to the restroom all the time. Yeah. It's been shown that good hand hygiene and those other types of interventions can reduce your risk of getting a cold or flu by 30 to 50%.
Yeah, but just being in an enclosed area with other human beings, which socially I don't enjoy anyway, but in work environments, I guess you have to, that alone, I mean, you're breathing their air, my goodness. How can you prevent breathing in their air?
Well, air can be one way of mechanism, but your hands play a much greater role in it. And people are getting more aware, and you've asked a lot of interesting questions, but in terms of preventing spread outside of the vaccine, there's people are becoming much aware, particularly in the office environment, as Staples found out in a recent survey.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, cell phones, very, very interesting. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're just taking your fingers and going all over that baby. And then, you know.
Most people are talking dirty and don't realize it.
Yeah, and not getting anything out of it.
No.
Which is the real crime. No, I mean, when you think about it, it must be horrible. I know in Japan or something, they actually wear masks in the streets, not just because of the pollution, but I think they're just like crowded into places together. I remember taking the New York City subways when I was younger, and man, I can imagine what I was touching on those handrails and such, and they don't have hand sanitizers down there.
No, that's why it's a good idea to always bring one with you when you take it. Actually, your risk of getting a cold or flu increases sixfold if you actually take a bus to work rather than driving your individual car.
Yeah. So Staples really like comes forth and says, look, you know, you're going to be working, you're going to be in an office environment, and these are the things you should do to make sure that you're not that susceptible.
Yeah, no, Ron, you're absolutely right. It was really interesting. Some of the findings that came out of the study was people more knowledgeable and educated about what it takes to stay healthy and how to prevent from getting the flu than ever before. However, over 50% of the people admitted that when they have the flu, they still go to work.
Sure.
And there's two reasons. Yeah, there's two reasons for that happening. One is workload. People just don't want to fall behind on the amount of work that they have.
Yep.
And the other one is their boss. They see their boss come in when that person has the flu, and they're saying, okay, that person's leading by example. They're coming in with the flu. I guess I should too. Yeah. And the reality is, and Dr. Gerber said it so well, is those people are just creating all these germ hotspots that's creating everyone else to be sick. Go ahead.
Well, they had a big thing up here in Boston with the Chipotle restaurant, which I guess you've heard about, where a sick employee was handling food, and they had to shut the place down, and now they're having a lot of big problems because of that. And that's a great example of going to work sick. What can happen?
It sure is. You have to create this culture of wellness, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, clear-cut, employee-friendly policies around sick time and if possible, working from home. Obviously, at Chipotle, you can't work from home, but in other office environments, you can. If you have a mild case of the flu, consider working from home. If you have a full-blown flu, your coworkers will appreciate it even more if you just stay home.
Yeah, and I guess we're not necessarily just talking about the flu. If you have a bad cold, you can spread that just as easily, probably even easier.
Oh, yeah, you don't realize that a person with a cold, about 30% of them have the cold virus on their hands. So every time they touch a surface or shake your hand, they can spread it, because the cold virus is very effectively spread by you touching your eye or nose.
Oh, man.
So people don't realize that. And you're going to do that as an adult about 16 times per hour without really realizing it. Every time you do it, you have the potential of moving around. Small children touch their face 50 to 80 times per hour, to give you an example. So it's very common. And every time you do it, you put a germ right where it wants to be.
You know, Ron, one of the best things a company can do in creating this culture of wellness is providing the product for their employees to leverage so that they don't pass germs from one person to another. So whether it's Purell, the hand sanitizer that's out there, or some of the hard surface disinfectant wipes that you can leverage, the more times you put that product out and the more different placements, the less chances of the germs being spread, because you'll find the utilization of those products going up. The employees are so educated today around, you know, how to prevent the flu. If the product is there, they'll leverage it. So that's what a lot of companies are doing. They're going out and they're placing the product throughout their building so that people aren't sick.
I see that a lot in supermarkets now. Just within the past few years, you walk in there and there's a wipe and a little garbage pail, and you wipe your hands and you wipe the rail of the shopping cart. And you know, there's a lot of psychology into this. If you buy products and utilize them in your mind, you are protected for that period of time. And whether it's true or not, and I believe you actually are protected with hand sanitizers, but whether it's true or not, it does create this psychological bubble, which is actually a positive thing.
Yes, you are. You know, what we've learned in our studies, Ron, is that even if a few people in an office environment practice good hand hygiene, they actually end up protecting the other people because they're interrupting the spread of the viruses and bacteria. Correct. So if you can even get half your employees to start using products like hand sanitizers, it can make a big difference in the whole office, we've been finding out.
Well, thank you so much for the information. Where can we get more?
There's a few different places you can go, Ron. Staples.com/flucenter is one place to go, and then for our business-to-business customers, you can go to our stapledadvantage.com website.
If you want to find more about how the flu season is doing, you can go to cdc.gov, and it'll tell you how bad a flu season we have this year.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out, I guess. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to go take a shower, if you don't mind. And
have a great day, Ron.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Story of my life, all I have to do is say I'm going to take a shower right now and people laugh. It just happened. It just happened. It happens to me all the time. I'm used to it. Not a big deal. I deal with it. I deal with it. The worst experience for me was in gym class in high school. For those that may not be familiar, and I don't think it's changed, there are no partitions or dividers between the shower heads and a boys' locker room in school. In other words, you're all naked, like totally naked, standing next to each other, only like 3 feet apart, and there are no dividers whatsoever. So in other words, if you wanted to, everybody could look at your dangling participle, and you could look at theirs. And you've never seen a room full of so many people not looking at those things. Because as soon as you do, then were you looking at my penis? No. I was whoa. You didn't want that tagged on you. And God forbid you should drop the soap. What do you do then? That's a horrible experience. And it's the same today, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies, you don't realize this. In men's rooms, there are some of them have no partitions whatsoever. Some do. They have little partitions, but you're still standing next to a total stranger who's dropped his pants and is sticking out Johnny. Just 2 feet from your Johnny. I don't want your Johnny in this. I don't want your Johnny in the same town as mine. And when I say Johnny, I'm talking about Peter. And when I say Peter, all right, never mind. The worst peeing experience I ever had in my life. Ron, what was your worst peeing experience? Well, I don't have any theme music for this, but here we go. It was when I was a tiny little, I wasn't tiny little. I went to Schaefer Stadium, which is now Foxborough Stadium. Thanks for calling in the background, but I'm not going to answer you. I'm doing a radio show. Thank you. Robert, could you cut that out? Thanks. At Schaefer Stadium in Foxborough, they didn't have urinals. When a guy went to the bathroom, to the men's room, there were no urinals. There was a long trough. The trough was about 30 feet long, and the guys would walk up to the trough, drop their pants, and pee in this trough. It looked like the conveyor belt on that I Love Lucy chocolate factory thing. And we were all a bunch of horses. We drop our pants and stand right next to somebody else and pee in a metal chute. It was the most disgusting thing I'd ever done in my life, and this was a football stadium with tens of thousands of people in it. Do you remember that? Do any of you remember that? No, you don't know who I am? Do you know? Okay, fine. Just make believe you don't know me. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. Fine. Well, when things go a little bit weird, I always turn to my horoscope.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius, your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Did you hear your sign in there? I bet you did. I bet it matched pretty well to what Kip was saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time today. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. I sure do. I sure do. I sure do. Did you have fun today?
It was unbelievably painful.
Please don't leave anything behind. Check overhead and beneath you. Make sure you remove all items on your way home. And thank you for listening to the program.
Whatever. Mm-hmm.